First up on the open mic is Stan.
I said to Julie I'd go first because the number one is a very lonely number. Nobody ever wants to embrace it on the open mic. So this is a new poem. A woman who may or may not be the MC tonight asked me to do a thing in the near future where you have to write a poem of 1916, 2016 and 3016. Three separate pieces. I'm only doing one tonight, don't panic. So I've always kind of struggled with nationalities. I was born in England and of Irish parents. I've lived here all my life. And I don't really get the, let's beat up the British because I'm partly British myself. So I kind of wondered what I do about 1916. But I've always been interested in, what will take somebody to warn. I heard J.K. Rowling interviewed a few years ago and she wrote the last Harry Potter book and she said she came to the conclusion that the bravest thing any man can do is go to war and come back and live an ordinary life. And I probably agree with that. But the second bravest thing a man can do, in my opinion, is actually go to war. So I've tried to imagine what it was like for a man waking up in the morning of the 1916 rising and what's taking him there and what he feels. And as I predominantly write poetry using song titles, this is written using song titles of the Wolf Tones, Ronnie Drew and the Dubliners. God bless Ronnie Drew because the piece was fucked if he didn't have a solo for it. It's called Restless Farewell. Goodbye, my darling asleep. Goodbye, my little son. I'm off to Dublin in the green for Ireland, my island. I know, my love, this is the day that a lament for the lost and the right of man will breeze from Clare to here. I know, my love, this is the day that the Derriere and Dingle Bay hear the call of bold Fenian men, James Larkin and Padraig Pearse, and that the answer, from sweet Tralee to Skibbereen, where the sun and the soldier song is rising, will be wrapped the green flag around me, boys. And we shall overcome. So blow ye winds a dream of liberty, blow ye winds a song of the Celts, a Celtic symphony, and over Ireland all let the people sing rebellion, freedom, go home you British soldiers, you'll never beat the Irish. And blow ye winds of providence to protect, so at our journey's end, when the boys come rolling home or the women of Ireland see a soldier return, not a bunch of red roses on holy ground, and bagpipe music at a gravestone marked, here lies a soldier. Yes, blow ye winds of providence to protect, so at our journey's end, so every soldier's son can hug the old man, and know once again love's old sweet song. And blow ye winds of providence, for the working man in Belfast and the boys of Fair Hill who, remembering the flight of the earls, Robert Emmet and the great hunger, will win freedom from the big, big and strong man. I know, my love, in Belfast and Botany Bay, Irish eyes are smiling, for this is the day the foggy dew in the valley of Knockanure and the gay Galty Mountains sings a song for Ireland. The day that Waterford boys and Galway girls were in the green of Ireland, my island, march to freedom. Yes, my darling asleep. Yes, my little son. This is the day. So goodbye, Irene. Goodbye, lovely Johnny. I'm off to Dublin in the green with James Connolly and Michael Collins to say farewell to an Ireland unfree.
Thank you, Margaret. Thank you, Margaret. Next up is Bernadette McCarthy.
This one's called Agoraphobia. It's here again, the soft dying fear of mouse, as hell is glimpsed in the horizon of a timber floor. Chairs are shoved about, the runnels blocked and bunged. The borders of a lifetime disappear. She seeks hope in the shadows, the kick feet of a couch could be a one night grace, but stays put. Press board snaps, the desk jerks foot to foot. Tremor thickens into terror, she pisses out her quick, then shrieks into the piercing scent of paint. One blatant sprint into the open grave, as clarity skims her raw from head to tail.
For me, I'm on the If we're three, no. Ben. Ben Burns.
The day is new, gusty and damp. Still, I can't help but want rain, rain, rain to wash it all away again. A flash flood of arcing birdsong back into the dark. I'd ride a river of sleep soaked in destruction. Feel pleasant and clean, hair flat to the skin. With eyes closing, there would be cars floating and household objects everywhere and mud.
With love from those who hate. The earth on its axis circles the sun, putting an ear trumpet to the spinning womb. One hears the fighting of our brothers and sisters through veins of rivers and mountains. Most of us talking at once, few listening as the bones are placed with love from those who hate. We bury our memories of Baghdad, Bamako, Basra, Beirut, Belfast, Cairo, Casablanca, Derry, Dublin, London, Madrid, Monaghan, New York, Paris, Sousse, Tunis, and all those unnamed places, unmarked graves, ready to be unearthed by the next generation.
We hear that Amalia and Lista. Is it Owen Rua? Someone Rua?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, or is it five?
On Rarick, on Patsne, three stores she is, Agus Harmony, a road or cement, to Durka. And break on more, the bullet more, it trusted her. Kasula Shostakovich, school fika and the malaga, Iganis, kind home and make she lifted, no, no, he and guard the car, and Dr. Russo, and Kelm McKayla, she loistic, in Chimma, and Colleen's stretcher, and walking wounded. Tomas, trade up. Dear was Mary that on Hallam Cap. Fian Brat, Fian Dash. Conover, Gun Mass, Gun Liberty, Shinwin.
Hey, please forgive me. I had the poem printed, but I forgot a verse. The verse in the middle, and that's the most important verse in the whole entire poem. So, so I had to get it off Facebook. And that's where the second verse was, the second version was. This is my discovery into logic, literary work. The thing is that we think we're all very logical, but in the end, we're also very emotional. Humans move by emotion. And the math about humans is we push logic towards emotion, and that doesn't make any sense. That's why, when we get into a relationship, we think it's so right, but what the person's doing to you is so wrong, but it just feels so good. You know? So I try to echo that in the poem. Your emotion is the ocean, The sailor is your logos, and you think you are the sailor, but you are the boat that's pulled by the tides, and this sailor does not know how to sail. He does gain master, or gets every wave that spat ward, we're the boat's canary vanish, but you are crashing, cutting through life like a scissors, driving borders and fabrics, and the waters. Driving borders and fabrics, and the water tells you if it's either brutal or erotic falsehood bath full of shower water. That arousal heat doesn't last long and becomes sour cold. As a sailor, that sounds tough, and a sea may whisper, that sounds painful and sore. As a fellow boat that's traveling on the same tides, I want to see you in Paul's Island at the very end. Thank you.
Philip, might get a mermaid in there somewhere. Fair play, there's going to be a lot of it. Patricia Walsh. Well, this is a new poem, and it's called Taste in the Wound. Some burning aperture slides the pain, taking business through roadworks, crushing necessity through the informed slot. A ridiculous expense of time walking. Some god prepares lights for the way for you, speeding through fiscal circumstance. A hurried shave, life of poverty awaits, sun shining through a lost chink of home. Death and taxes, thankfully not staying too long. Another holiday at home, feeling the spite, cutting on drink like there is no tomorrow. Leaving an alcoholic to rave from far from the truth. Simplistic paintings masked the wall, waiting this for exhibitions going out the door. Into raw sunlight, the historic huge agents, charging expense for a certain type of work. Licking the blood of a heart's desire, to stem the blow of constant disappointment. Drinking the fluid sustaining precious death, celebrating years of chain transport. Stick on a canister and hope for the best. Stanching drains is no longer a priority. Living day to day, unnecessary expense. Caught in the breeze, cooling wounds. Not being rained off, nay, never no more. Yours in my heart, relieved in poverty. Turning the next corner, not a possibility. State employment are hard and fast necessity. Some burial keeping with the time, listening to the breeze with due caution. The taste of burn forms and warm lips, nourishing your apertures too far, too large to count. Thank you.
Patricia. Mary O'Connor.
This is my second attempt at this. It's about a writer who has to travel to earn a crust. It's called Wandering Wordsmith. Bells of a European capital, waker from ragged dreams, that show again buildings that fall to rubble in her native land. Haze of the desert on her skin, raven strands curl about her throat, a sinewy frame that moves with languid grace. She traces the pain of those afraid to speak, women locked in by men they tried to love. Lines of her own desire smolder on the page. Endless airports, always the half-filled case. No chance to drop the social smile, escape the well-meant hospitality when the reading's done. Puzzled by banter in an unfamiliar tongue, She's resigned to be the magnet that draws them to her beauty and her words. Bedazzled, her admirers never guess that when she's called upon to share her gift, fly off to yet another distant shore, her tired wings beat out her weariness. She longs for stillness, for a place where she might sink into a fold of peace.
Mary,
we hear the letter of Lisbon of Seamus Harrington. Thanks, Julie. After nearly 100 hours crossing Biscay, we arrived at Strivas at La Corona. And without much rest, the skipper insisted on carrying our bags for pilgrimage. Walk to Santiago de Compostela with a scallop shell around our neck for effect, and we were fairly shook by the time we got there. And basically, it could have been pandemonium at the cathedral, except for some very firm stewarding, and that's what this is about. At the cathedral, they flood from the coaches onto the monumental stairway, jam up the side doors, dam the porches and passageways. Crooked pilgrims with long staffs and oversized backpacks festooned with laundry are forced to yield. We muster on the left, line up for our hosts with the patience of Job, form a bottleneck at the turn by the nave, an elderly soul with an orphan sock, glasses dark as the apostle's grave, box at the bodily crush. Next to an incensed usher, his semaphore arms, veins bulge on his forehead, the colour of a pillar of jasper. A snap of his fingers summons fresh reinforcements. His skill takes our breath away. A canon and curate pressed into service, chalices at the ready and full. We peer in awe through the scent at the tolerable height of grime vaulted hymns. Flash bulbs fire as anchormanly monks take up the strain on the marvellous line.
Thank you. Dion Brown.
I should mention first that Charlie Chaplin is a great hero of mine, so I was hoping for the day he would get into a poem, and he got into this one. And also a guy gets a mention in this poem, Theodore Adorno. He wrote a book called The Culture Industry. In it, he critiques the way film turns out the same old plots again and again and again. So this is a Sestina which turns out the same old words again and again and again. And it's called Watching Silent Films With You. Is even better than waiting up for the TV premiere of the latest Scorsese or Tarantino flick, or is, in any event, a much safer alternative than what? Hoping we might catch a laugh at some random arthouse screening in the town. So samey, cringed Adorno, who just couldn't deal with crude B-movie remakes, the roll of deal of minor deja vu at every damn premiere, the bass-voiced trailers, posters all over town. So we stay in tonight, streaming this 20s flick where Chaplin plays the tramp. To make us laugh, he eats his boot. There is no alternative. I'm almost certain there is no alternative. With bowler, mustache, cane of pliant deal, the squat penguin waddle of him brought laughs from those who stampeded into the premiere. To watch it now, you get what's meant by flick. The frames crackling like a campfire, the town kindled for those lost on their way to town to come in and warm themselves. Native or not,
We welcome you to hush, not flick your skittles, please, and chill. It was a deal. Any second, the new film was due to premiere. Chaplin almost puked. Then came the first laughs. This was before the invention of the studio laugh. Special effects, stunt doubles, color. Towns must have crowded into cinema as the scale of Premier League stadiums in the season. Few alternative art forms had proved themselves a bigger deal among a people that had not yet learned to flick the channel. Oops, now there would be no flick. Just minutes in, buffering. The laugh will be long coming then, which is not ideal, since there's still time to catch a late bus to town where we can, for want of an alternative, watch Doctor Strange, set as it is to premiere straight before the sequel premieres. A dated flick, but not having any alternative, we laugh together a good deal, like we'd never been to town. Yes.
All right, thank you, Dean, for that long one, and that segues nicely into my two tiny, wee little poems. I'm not very good at reading or enjoying nature poems, so I tried to write some. It's a nice little challenge. So these are two tiny little ones. The first one is called Featherlight. Broken stem, do you remember your birthright? When I hold you, do you remember the warmth of flesh? And the second one is called Coin Tossing. The flattest stones lie in my pocket, and when I toss them over you, lake, I feel a weight lighten off of me, lighter than any boulders I would carry. Thanks.
Max Creedon. Is Max Creedon in the house? Whoa! Okay, she was left.
I condemn myself to poems. Yeah. This is for the love songs. My father and mother singing to the Scottish love songs, and my big sister always sang the Loch Dave old song. And the first song is tonight, Poor Nula, Philas and Fintraw. So this is a combination of three little Scottish boat songs I wrote for these people. I was a pather when my mother lost nine, and I was the youngest and pretty, but she married me off to an island man, and I said farewell to the land, and I walked the island day by day, and I watched the sunset turf for horror flat special, but till the head I am a field calf. So I lost it all on the harbour line. Savage the birthing bed of my pain. Oh, comfort the wind of all weathers. The terror watch in the long stormy night. As I watch the wild waves for the coral. But my sons grew tall when I grew sad. And the years rolled like rosary decades. I held my head strong and I stood so proud as the light and light start to fade. In my scale, so all I go now, too sad for the modern age. But it was a stare of a doom queen girl who became one and then of the law.
Sorry.
spill me a mold, a clinker bill bold, and she drop waters from me. Line it with coil, can seal it with rope, for a fulsome life's guarantee. Row it away from the first, the fourth, and outdoor all the sea. And sail it on by beautiful land, watch over by shadows of Hebrides. My foreman's horse is bold to see, my animal of the Highland Sea. He brings his catch back home to eat on golden shores and shingle beach.
It was the first time I actually heard Irish so fluently. Instead of random words that I'm used to, I think I might, in that sound way of speaking, I might actually engage the language thing, exchange, and I might share again another song of my country because of the sound.
Não é feito só por mim.
Next up is Kevin Walsh. So there's four people left, so if we can keep it to, you know, a reasonable, you know, no short stories or anything, please. That's okay.
First off, I'm just going to say, how am I going to follow that?
Yeah.
I'll sing some more tonight for you, but maybe tonight I'll just stick to the readings, my first night here. This is called Biting. As the sand scrapes from his rusty boot, he toots a tune of ale and juice. He bides his time for the days gone by, the days gone by when the stars did fly. When the old theatre was shining gold and people shed their tears and woe, he bides his time for the days gone by, the days gone by when the sun did shine. Now he sleeps and sleeps, but dreams no dream. His lucky sheaf rips at the seam. He bides his time for the days gone by, the days gone by when the clouds had a line. His close friend smells a pungent smell, as he smells the swell grime of a bell. They bide their time for the days gone by, the days gone by when the bells weren't grind. The wind chimed as a young man set. He told the two of a promise to collect an artifact that would reset the days gone by when the men were best. They were skeptical, but they did believe the young man's tale that would reveal the resurrection of the days gone by, but for now, they still bide their time.
So I demand the two of you to come back again and again, please.
Yeah.
Okay.
Cedric? Oh! Okay, yeah. So, yeah, no short sort of stories, but...
Sorry.
Okay, I will try to make it quick. That one is titled Paper Cut. The way was long, the day slow because of it. Yet it was not the end, so he would not drop his guard. His heightened attention becoming the channel through which his environment would play. The air through the window violently caressing his face. The powerful light of the sun basking all in sight in white, forcing him to close his eyes. The many smells, cow dung, ice cream, mud, sweat, summer, nothing. The guessing of the song of the insects in the transiting hedges, covered by the beat of the train on the rail. Perfectly paced, hypnotic rhythm lullaby that made him forget the sting on his finger. Sleeping, he was his own parcel, shipping to the end of the line, an unknown destination. The receiver, unappreciative of the present. When finally arrived, he tumbled out of the car, the mind still hazy from the interrupted talker. Barely a few steps, and already he was intercepted by a man with a function given by the uniform, sharp indeed. With a reflex shaped by survival instinct, he pulled the paper containing all that the man needed to know. The sheet of paper had cut him before, but now it was his lifeline, like the memories of a country that wanted him dead. Similarly, soon it would not be enough to convince anyone of his human worth. The idea was bothering, stung without real tangible damage. A paper cut.
Thank you. Kieran McCarthy, would you want to say?
Oh!
Kessler. To break a glass dome. Body suspended in resistance, weight given way to a glass dome. Pressed in pain to a glaze, bones ache still for days as eyes gaze to a stage where potential dances. I can't look away any more than I can afford to stay, looking longingly into the hazing gray. When my eyes are closed and the mind is quiet, the hairs on my body make it clear that I could slide in any direction from here. And take ease from my aching bones in free fall. Rest the brain in the command of gravity. Close the eyes that have seen too much to see any less. Fleeting bliss, weightlessness, bartered for and won in exchange for every option in range of the compass needle spinning familiar circles in my humming mind. Is there a new north to find? If not, how do I describe the concept of worth to bones grown in me since birth that ached once and scream now and journey through paradise to make the momentary monumental? The last thing felt before breaking was relief. The last thing given was thanks for the chance to take control of every evening stroll, every burrowed hole, every striven goal. Know that I am on a roll, baby, I am on a roll. That I'm the king of everything, that I call all the shots, and I could kiss every ring until those fingers rot. That I write mysteries without you, that I give all the clues, and I tell the calling characters the best tools to use. And I've built cities with strict structures and lit the stray ends with a match and seen portraits of your face in the settled ash. Now I am setting sail, baby, to wherever winds prevail. Throw my compass to the waves, I am guided by the gale, and I am not for turning now with no gaze back to where I left fires burning to remind me what I lack. I never linger in earshot of the voices shouting stop. And should I hear the time run out, I warp the ticking clock. And I wait and await the paradise I seek on the eighth day of the week. My day's journey's clear since I've let fear steer. And bleeding from a bitten tongue, I talk to myself to beat the silences I have suffered since you've left. Easy to say, I will live and die this way. And shade grey, all the pictures ever I drew. Harder to say, I don't feel safe without you. Thank you.
And last but not least on the open mic tonight is Catherine. I have a song, if I can recall it well enough, that's actually about a poet. It's about Walt Whitman, and it's called Calling You. Sorry, I'm just make sure I need you, otherwise I won't be ruined. Will your leaves of grass have withered? As scream children trash the peace, many have read, but few have heard. Though they consume your every word, tell us of how you are everything. Shout to us, maybe we'll hear. We're trapped in the amber of a city night. We don't see the stars burning here. Calling you, calling you, calling you from the other side. Sing your song again, but louder this time. Unveil your vision, open our eyes. Free us from freedom, me. Tell us of how you are everyone. Shout to us, maybe we'll hear. We're locked in these concrete cages. We don't see the stars from in here, and we need you to remind us.